Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The 49ers Rush platform is looking for sponsors. Help out his podcast. We have over 100,000 social media subscribers and average well over 20,000 views/listens per episode. So get on with the faithful and get your product out there. Reach out to us at 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com and get started today.
Time for the 49ers Rush podcast.
You know, when you see a player jump up in rankings from our previous, you know, roster countdowns previous years, it's exciting because it's like, oh man, this player, he's ascending, whatever else. Well, sometimes it's the opposite, and not all players go up or stay the same. And that's kind of what we have with Chase Lucas. Cornerback Chase Lucas, nickel guy, dropped 17 spots from last season. He was ranked 62nd last year, but just never really got on the field on a defensive manner whatsoever. Really thought he had an opportunity to possibly win that nickel kind of starting job, and turns out he wasn't the starter or the backup, and just a special teams role only. So he comes in at number 79 on the 2025 roster countdown, against 17-spot drop, and just... the 49ers like him, and man, they have a history with this guy. All the way back to college, was, you know, teammates with Brandon Ayuk. He played for Herm Edwards at Arizona State, who's, you know, John Lynch's best friend. They chose to bring him over. Didn't really work out last year, but they brought him back. And which is kind of a surprise to me, because you added 3 to 4 nickel corners. Where does Chase Lucas fit? If he was a priority on this team, why would you go out and add multiple draft picks and free agents that play that position? We got to see how that is. Now, it might be that Chase Lucas is just going to be a special teams player only, and that's kind of his thing. You know, practice squad, special teams ace. That's not a bad racket in the NFL, but that's why he, you know, comes in number 79 on this list. He's, you know, wears jersey number 26 for the 49ers, 5'11", 188, so smaller, but not too small. So, like, prototypical nickel, but could play outside. 32-inch arms, he's 26 years old, not, you know, I mean, he's in the prime of his career, 4.5 40-yard dash, not bad. 1.53 cone, great acceleration. 6.7 three cone, elite change of direction. 39-inch vertical, that's top 82% of all corners. 10.8 broad jump, top 83%. So athleticism, size, change of direction, he checks a lot of boxes. You plug in Chase Lucas's measurables into mock draftable, one of the top comps, Renardo Green. The 49ers have a type. 93.3% match with the height, weight, arm length, you know, 40, 10-yard, three-cone, vert, broad jump, pinch. Very similar. They have a type. And Renardo Green, another guy that a lot of people thought was going to be a nickel only, well, he plays outside. So Chase Lucas, you know, last year in training camp, mostly at nickels where he lined up, but he has versatility. And, you know, another corner, Terrion Arnold, you know, plays for the Lions, very similar, comparable height, weight, speed, all that stuff as well. Chase Lucas is entering into his fourth season. Born and raised in Chandler, Arizona. There are so many players from Arizona on this 49ers roster. It's kind of uncanny. Played high school ball at Chandler High School. He was a featured running back, teammates with N'Keal Harry, right? You guys remember, you go back, 49ers had N'Keal Harry as their wide receiver one and Debo as their wide receiver two. And the 49ers were going to take N'Keal Harry over Debo, but the Patriots took him instead. 49ers settled on Debo. The rest is history there. But anyway, you know, teammates with N'Keal Harry. He's been around studs his whole life. And, you know, again, played at ASU, was teammates with Brandon Ayuk at Arizona State and all that stuff. So let's go through his college career. He was able to play as a redshirt freshman and was a USA Today all freshman team, all Pac-12 conference second team as a freshman. And was the only freshman to earn all Pac-12 honors. But his final season, you know, continued to kind of excel, but never really made that next step. His college career kind of plateaued. He was a captain for the Sun Devils, but honorable mention all conference. So kind of entered the scene. It was like, whoa, this is the dude. Play never really went up from there. And that was kind of an issue is, man, did he tap out or kind of max out his talent, Chase Lucas, as a freshman in college? You just really haven't seen the growth in play production. It just hasn't happened. Now, let's go back a little bit further, kind of how he was brought up. Yeah, very close to his mom, Valerie. She's the reason why he went to Arizona State. She stopped him from committing to UCLA. And so you got to love the kind of mama's boy and, you know, stick it to your own. Like, I love that. That's not a negative. That's a huge positive for me. Started at running back, as we talked about, led Chandler to their first state championship in high school in 1949. And, you know, captain, like we talked about, leadership's there, all that stuff's there. And, you know, he was a part of the Lions team against the 49ers in the NFC Championship when they come up from behind. You know, he played for them, was with them, special teams. He only got special teams only and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, huge family guy. I love that. Quote, my family is everything to me. My mom, my grandparents, my aunt, they all did everything for me, end quote. You love that. And so, you know, we got that Herm Edwards, you know, John Lynch's best friend stamp of approval. Just team captain, family guy, commitment to the team, all that kind of stuff. It's there. He was drafted the seventh round of the 2022 draft, pick 237, by the Lions. Same round as Brock Purdy, from very close areas in Arizona. Two completely different stories after the draft, though. And, you know, he just really hasn't been able to catch on in the NFL. Drafted in the seventh round, got placed on injured reserve in December of his rookie year. Gets waived by the Lions, brought back to their practice squad later on, but then gets released again, brought back to their practice squad, released again, brought back, and it was just on again, off again with the Lions. Well, what happens is the 49ers brought him over last offseason. Did not catch on the 53-man roster, re-signed to the practice squad where he was there for pretty much the entire of the 2024 season, and they brought him back again and signed a future reserve contract January 6th, 2025. It's a $1.03 million deal. Zero guarantees. So it kind of seems like more of the same career path for Chase Lucas. Career earnings, $1.7 million. Like, he has not been paid out. But that's what happens when you're stuck on the practice squad set. Now, never, he has zero career starts, 18 games played, but only 6 defensive snaps. That's it. He's got 304 special team snaps. He's got a 57 grade from PFF. Not bad. It's just really hard to get excited to see him excel past just a special teams ace if he makes this roster. I think probably we've seen what his career trajectory is going to be. Now, if I'm trying to paint a hopeful picture, it's Nick Sorensen, which hope and Nick Sorensen never go together. But you're hoping perhaps Nick Sorensen was the issue, kind of like how he, you know, completely doubted Samuel Womack and kept him from getting any snaps whatsoever. Maybe that's the issue. And so with Robert Saleh coming back, a new special teams coordinator, Brant Boyer, maybe he catches on with one of those. But I really do doubt it. I think probably practice squad is best case scenario, and that's why Chase Lucas dropped 17 spots from last year to this year. And I have to say thank you to Josh, Ben, and Zach, the executive producers of this series. And for us in the 49ers Rush team, we're just going to keep counting them down. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you gotta come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
You know, almost everybody's favorite 49ers draft pick, especially day three, was none other than Connor Colby, who fell to the seventh round, which I thought was an incredible value pick. But I kind of want to come at it with like a Lee Corso, not so fast, my friends, because there is an undrafted free agent, priority free agent is a better way to say it, Drew Moss, who he's going to be fighting for that last guard spot, which is available. And I'm just going to be honest with you, like Drew Moss, more athletic, more agile. He's got a lot of the similar things that Connor Colby has, but moves better. And I'm just telling you, don't be shocked. The 49ers are notorious this. Whenever they take two players at the same position, whether that's drafted, undrafted, you look at, you know, Ambry Thomas, Diamador Lenore. You could look at Trey Sermon, Elijah Mitchell. You could look at Ty Davis Price or the undrafted free agent Jordan Mason. Drew Moss is going to surprise some folks, and he comes in number 78 on the 2025 roster countdown. Fun player. Where's jersey number 55? And let's go through these measurables, right? 6'3", 303. Okay. A little bit undersized. 32 1/8 inch arms. That's fine for an interior guy. He played tackle almost predominantly in college, Colorado State and Lamar University, but he's going to be a guard at 32 inch arms. 21 years old. He's young. A perfect 5-flat 40. So speed check. 10 yard split, 1.7. Are you kidding me? 3-cone with 7-6, which is good, but when you're looking at guards for the 49ers, that 20-yard shuttle time, the short shuttle, 4.58. All right, what the hell does that mean? That's 92 percentile of NFL offensive linemen. This dude can change directions, move quick, and the athleticism, 31.5-inch vertical. Like, that's like defensive back-type vertical, and this dude's 6'3", 303. 20 bench press reps, entering his rookie season, only 21 years old. Young. This is a player, and initially reported, this is another thing that again, stock up Drew Moss. When they announced that he was signed as an undrafted free agent, there was no ties to guaranteed monies given out from the 49ers. Well, now that we have the contract, he got $145,000 in guarantees. So fully guaranteed. That was not reported. So the 49ers are very, very, very high on Drew Moss. And if I'm going to be honest with you, I can guarantee you there were some discussions in that draft room day three, seventh round, Connor Colby, Drew Moss. Yeah, they like Connor Colby more, and he gets, you know, the nod of approval. But who's going to pan out? Do not count out Drew Moss. Texas boy from Richardson, Texas. Played at Richardson High School, the Purple Eagles. And, you know, in high school, three-year starter, offensive line team captain, all-district. That's a tough district, by the way. So, like, he's played quality football from high school, period. A three-year starter, that's huge. All-district, you know, at guard, tackle, two-time academic all-district, like, huge track and field guy. He was a thrower. Awesome. Well, he goes to Lamar University, then transfers to Colorado State. All Mountain West. All these different things. He stepped in and started every single game. Once he was there and got to Colorado State, it was like, okay, this guy belongs. Parents, Douglas and Regina Moss. He has two siblings. Both parents competed collegiately at Rice. Intelligence, a Rice, smart school. Mom was a swimmer. Dad was a football player. So you've got the pedigree. You've got all those things. Signed as an undrafted free agent after the draft. 3-year, $2.9 million deal with $145,000 guarantee. I think that is very, very important. Now, you look at his college tape. 2,900 plus snaps. He's got the experience. Played right tackle and right guard. And he's going to be an interior offensive lineman with 32-inch arms. Now, I mean, you get to the point where, you know, kind of like last season where you had three tackles get injured at the same time and you're moving guys around. Yeah, he could move out to tackle in a pinch if you had to, but this is a guard who could maybe play center. He's going to be a guard only the first year. You look at the PFF grades, good Lord. 90.5 overall grade, elite. 81.3 pass blocking, elite. 92.6 run blocking, elite. But here's the negative, 8 penalties. And not very disciplined with his hand usage, and he's small-armed. And you go through the tape, and it shows that this is why he went undrafted. The athleticism is off the charts. His body is kind of maxed out. He is undersized. Like, he's fighting to stay at 300 pounds. I think probably 280 would be easier for him, but he's going to have to, you know, get to that kind of 310 mark. But he's an undersized, athletic dude with short arms. That's the problem. And it shows on tape. Whenever he plays against these longer defensive linemen, whether at tackle or guard, you can constantly see the defensive lineman getting into his body. And so that's going to throw him off the board of half the teams. If you are a vertical gap-style offensive structure, like half the NFL, this dude's undraftable. You don't do it. But for the zone-blocking teams, like the 49ers, Chris Forster, Kyle Shanahan, he's a fit. Because athleticism trumps length and body style. It's so undersized, but man, he is a nasty blocker. Team captain, 3-year starter. You love all those things. He only allowed one sack, one quarterback hit, and 7 hurries all of last year. That's pretty solid. And for somebody that's played right tackle and right guard, I think that's huge. So, you know, my film write-up, exceptional agility. It jumps out on tape. The first play you watch him, you're just like, wow, that dude explodes off the ball consistently. Guard only prospect, probably maybe center, but that's long down the line. He's going to be guard only for the 49ers, especially this year, probably 2 years. Nasty run blocker with some attitude, short arm, shows on tape. But the athleticism, he reaches, you'll see him at the guard spot, which I think is most important tape. You'll see him reach, you know, shade defenders on the center. He moves well. He really, really does. So how does he make this roster? Guard's pretty stacked, and so like that's the problem. And the 49ers only draft guards. You've drafted 0 tackles, 0 centers, 3 consecutive drafts. Keep drafting guards over and over and over again. Obviously, you hit with Dominique Pooney last year, but like you look at the depth chart, okay, Dominique Pooney and Ben Bartsch are your starters. Behind that, Nick Zekiel, okay, he seems to be the next man up at the guard spot. But then Spencer Burford, who started multiple games in his career, multiple years at guard, but now he's playing tackle. Do the 49ers keep Spencer Burford on the outside? For Connor Colby and Drew Moss, that's a must. I don't see any way that Connor Colby or Drew Moss are going to pass Spencer Burford, who has 3 years starting experience at both guard spots and can play tackle. Like, that can't happen. So for the Connor Colby, Drew Moss conversation to make the initial 53-man roster, it is paramount that Spencer Burford stays as a tackle-only prospect. Now, are the 49ers going to keep 4 guards? Probably not. Nick Zekiel's got that spot on lockdown. Can Drew Moss beat Connor Colby? That's number one. If he could do that, he has a shot. He has a shot. My guess is probably Connor Colby and Drew Moss do not make the initial 53. And they try to get one of them back on the practice squad. That's the idea. And then you got Zach Johnson, who's in this conversation as well at guard. But, you know, that's they stashed last year. So there are 3 young guys that not a lot of capital, not a lot of finances are invested in. Connor Colby, Drew Moss, Zach Johnson. One of those guys will probably be on the practice squad. Can one of them do enough to ensure their spot on the 53? Spencer Burford better be a tackle only, and man, one injury, you're there. And so for the 49ers, the guard position is so big that they constantly draft and bring in undrafted free agents. There's a lot of competition on this back end. I would say practice squad's kind of the best route to go for Drew Moss, and the fact that he got that 145 guaranteed, you've kind of already paid for the year-long practice squad thing, and we've seen it with Evan Anderson, you saw it with Sam O, like you've seen it with players before. That seems to be the pathway that is laid out. But I want to tell you, Drew Moss comes in, the undrafted free agent, number 78 on this list, and I don't like it. I want to do plus 10. I think he probably should have been at about 70, 68, around that range. But, you know, whenever we did our collective rankings and we put them out there, I had them 67, but 70, 81, 87 were the other ranks because it's just a logjam at the guard position. It's just what it is. So excited to see this rookie and jersey number 55. I want to see what he can do. Can he hold his own? The 49ers hit gold last year at the guard position with Dominique Pooney. Could they add another one? Drew Moss has the athletic ceiling that Chris Forster and Kyle Shanahan love. So excited to see what he can bring. Thank you, Ben, Zach, and Josh, the executive producers of this entire series. And for us and the 49ers Rush team, we're just going to keep counting them down. Hey, Niner faithful, if you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the Tick Pick app or tickpick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. Who doesn't like kicker controversies? And the 49ers have one. Obviously, what's happened with Jake Moody has not been good. It's been very, very bad. And I know a lot of people want to chalk up Jake Moody's issues to the long snapper and the injury, which definitely did not help. It was really bad his rookie year in the playoffs. Missed one kick in every single one of the playoff games, the divisional round, the NFC Championship, and the Super Bowl. There are some issues there. When pressure's up, just seems like it didn't really cut it. And the 49ers went out and said they were going to bring in veteran competition this year to see who wins the job in camp. Well, at number 77 on the 49ers 2025 roster countdown, we have that veteran competition, and that is Greg Joseph. Been in the NFL, entering into his eighth season, and has a lot of experience. Now, he was injured last year. There were some issues with that, but Greg Joseph is wearing jersey number 40, 6'208", pretty good size for a kicker, and he's 30 years old, which in the NFL, not that long in the tooth. It's just his best football, kind of a little bit behind him. He went to Florida Atlantic College, but the way in which he got there was pretty fascinating. He's born and raised in Johannesburg, South Africa. A lot of kickers, international players, but they moved to Florida in 2001 with his mom, two younger brothers. Greg is Jewish and has admitted Judaism has absolutely helped guide him through life. I love just the nuance to the different approaches and religion and just how all these different personalities come together to form a team. You know, you got to love that. Chose football over soccer because he thought it would be an easier way to get a scholarship. Very, very smart. If you could kick and you've got a soccer player, every single year whenever I coached, once soccer season was over, I'd go out with a couple footballs and some tees and I'd line up the entire soccer team. We're kicking field goals today. Who wants to start, you know, letter on varsity? And in Texas, it was a lot easier than a lot of other places. But if you could kick field goals and you got that leg and you could be consistent, you can get scholarships relatively, not easy, but very, very feasible. Full rides as well. He was a five-year player at Florida Atlantic, and he holds records for PATs, field goals, points by field goals, longest field goal. He had a 54-yarder in college. You name it, he did it at Florida Atlantic. Now, he went undrafted, which every single kicker should go undrafted. Even if you're the best kicker ever, maybe a seventh, maybe a sixth. No kicker should ever be drafted in the third round. I don't care. No punter should ever be drafted that high either. Now, he does have a Super Bowl victory under his belt, kind of. It was with the Buccaneers and Tom Brady and all that stuff, but he wasn't the team's active kicker. He was on the practice squad, but still on a Super Bowl roster, went through the practices, saw what it was like, saw what it takes to be there. He's got plenty of experience to give Jake Moody a run for his money if the 49ers will allow it to be a true competition, which I really, really hope they do. Again, undrafted in 2018, signed with Miami, was with Miami, Cleveland, Carolina, Tennessee, Tampa Bay, Minnesota, and then just last year alone, Packers, Lions, Giants. I mean, he was just all over the place. Washington, the Jets. So he's struggled getting bumped around a lot, and he had an abdomen injury, a core muscle injury, which he was released on an injury settlement last year. But the most important thing, he was with the Jets for a short stint last year. Why is that important? Brant Boyer, the 49ers special teams coach, was brought over from the Jets last year, so there's a little bit of that experience there. The Shanahan loyalty program is real. Same with Robert Saleh, and same with Brant Boyer, apparently. Now, we look at the career statistics, and I want to compare Greg Joseph's numbers as a kicker to Jake Moody's numbers as a kicker. Well, spoiler alert, Jake Moody loses every single category. The only thing, the only one single statistic where Jake Moody has a better number, that's extra points. Jake Moody is 92 for 94 in the regular season. He did miss an extra point in the Super Bowl. It was blocked, but it was way low and way it would have missed if nobody was there. But Jake Moody is 92 of 94 in the regular season with a 97.9 percentage extra point rate. And if you look at Greg Joseph, 157 of 173 comes out to 91%. So if there's one area where it's like, this is where Jake Moody is better, it's extra points. Now, you want to look at field goals, it's not even close. You know, Greg Joseph, perfect 34 of 34, anything under 30 yards. That's pretty normal. Now, if you go from 30 to 39, 37 of 38, he's only missed one. That's a 97 percentile for Greg Joseph. Now, the 40 yards from 40 to 49 yards, that's probably the biggest discrepancy. Okay, Jake Moody, whenever you look at that, he's 10 of 17. That's 58%. As one of the, by far the worst kicker in the NFL last year, that not even got any kicker last year. That was the worst of the worst. 58% from 40 yards. Awful, awful, awful. Greg Joseph, 27 of 38 for 71%. That's 13 percentage points better as a career standpoint, and he's got a longer track record. Now, you look at the 50 yards, same thing. Jake Moody, 50-plus yards. He's 6 of 12. That's 50%. Very easy to calculate. Greg Joseph, 17 of 30, 56%. So he's just better all across the board. And then you look at the playoffs. Now, the one thing that you have to give Jake Moody is he's played a lot more playoff games in his career. They both have made, here's where it gets a little weird. You look at the playoff career of Jake Moody, 6 of 8 on field goals and 8 of 9 on extra points. That's what he's done in the playoffs. All right, well, let's look at what Greg Joseph has done. He's 2 of 2 on field goals, not a lot of field goals, but 12 of 12 on extra points. He's never missed. He's perfect in the playoffs. Small sample size. 49ers have had a lot of playoff games since Jake Moody's been here, but it just hasn't been good. I do not know what else to say besides kickers are strange in the fact that you have to have the talent, no doubt about that, but you got to have the between the ears. Jake Moody just seems to crumble in pressure situations, and you see his face in those times. Man, you can just tell he is sweating. It is scary, scary, scary. Now, I do think Jake Moody's going to win this, and that's why we have Greg Joseph at 77. Jake Moody hasn't showed up on the roster countdown just yet, but we'll have to see how it goes. Through OTA's minicamp, both were relatively perfect. There's no pressure in those situations. And Greg Joseph signed a one-year, $1.1 million deal, zero guaranteed. So if he gets cut, doesn't cost you much. So the hope is he presses Jake Moody, and Jake Moody takes that next step into being an elite kicker, or just an average kicker, to be honest with you. It's sad that the highest drafted kicker in the NFL currently, we're hoping he's average. Like, just such a wasted draft pick. And cost you several games in his 2 years in the NFL so far. Now, Greg Joseph, his career earnings, $6.5 million. He made the right choice in not playing soccer. And Greg Joseph has played 75 games. He's got the experience, but it's not recently. Last year, only played in 4 games and had the injury. So what's going to happen? Personally, I would prefer Greg Joseph to win just because I think he's much more reliable and experienced and doesn't have that kind of shakeable mentality that Jake Moody just hasn't gotten past yet. And I don't like how the 49ers are making so many excuses. Well, the holder and the snapper and the injury. No. You kick field goals. That's what you got to do. And he just has not been good at it. By far one of the worst kickers in the NFL. So I hope Greg Joseph wins. But whenever you listen to Brant Boyer or Kyle Shanahan or anybody talk, they are still pretty much behind Jake Moody. And I don't think that this is a true competition. The only way that I think Greg Joseph can win is if Jake Moody folds in the preseason games. I don't even think if Greg Joseph outduels and outkicks Jake Moody in training camp, I don't think that matters. What happens in those 3 preseason games? That's what I think it's going to come down to. And it needs to be clear and decisive that Greg Joseph's the winner. If it's close, they're going with Jake Moody. He'll get claimed by another team because of the talent, because of, you know, being a third round pick and all those things. I don't give a damn about that. I want reliability at the kicker position. Never should have been drafted anyway. But Greg Joseph, you got a lot of 49ers fans rooting for you and excited to see what he's going to do. I have to say thank you to our executive producers of this series, Josh, Ben, and Zach. They have been awesome. And for us in the 49ers Rush team, we're just going to keep counting them down.